Well, my heart is touched as I've listened to this program this evening. And that last song just spoke to me again. Just would wish that so many people in our world would know the gift of salvation and the power that Jesus Christ can give to a person to overcome a life of sin. We greet you in his name tonight, the one who said, "Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." The one who said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Depending which gospel you read, it says it both different ways. We greet you in his name tonight, the one that said, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." This evening, the message title is The Evangelism Mandate. And I guess I just feel that we live in the twilight of time, and anything we intend to do for God while we're still on this earth, we better get it done, because it's not much time anymore. And we don't even know how much time any of us have, because God didn't promise any of us tomorrow. However, while we have life and breath, and while we have the physical capacity and the mental capacity, one of the jobs of a disciple of Jesus is to spread the good news to those who do not know. And I'm thoroughly convinced of this tonight. And I just was thinking tonight, as I saw this group of young people up here, what would be the potential possibility that each one of them would one day soon bring another soul to the foot of the cross, bring another soul into the kingdom? What would that look like, so that this group could be doubled in size within two or so years from now? But it doesn't happen unless we're praying for people, unless we're interested in people's lives, unless we're getting involved where there's needs in our communities, wherever that is. And that can also go into foreign fields. But I want to make sure we know one thing. Going across the sea, or going across the Caribbean, or going across a national border does not make you a missionary. A missionary can start right where they live. They can do something for Jesus where they are. Someone has said it this way, that if we are too little to go to a big place, we're too big to go to a little place. In other words, let's start where we're at. The devil's an expert. He'd be very happy if we'd forget about our duty to tell the lost about Jesus. He would just be happy if we get more and more involved in materialistic pursuits of pleasure and money and fun, money making, business building. He would be happy if we forgot about the evangelism mandate. And yet, while the majority of people that fly above us in the airplanes during the day and night, the ones that drive up and down our highways, the ones we see in the store, many, 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 many of them, the majority of them, I dare say, are hellbound. Is there anything we can do about it? This evening, I want us to remember that the evangelism mandate of our dear Lord Jesus is more than a theory, but a practical practice. It needs to become that. It needs to be more than a theory. It needs to be more than something we talk about and now and then discuss in a church service. It needs to be something where we actually open our mouth and talk to somebody about Jesus, actually share with them our testimony. We need to get to that point somehow. And it doesn't come unless God has given us a passionate passion for souls. Someone said it this way, "Oh, for a passionate passion for souls, oh, for a pity that yearns, oh, for a love that loves unto death, oh, for a fire that burns." And I mentioned it briefly, I think, in an earlier message this week. We need, my dear friends, tonight, a holy combination of three things to be able to serve God in this, our generation. Number one, we need a good dose of Calvary love. Second, we need a good dose of New Testament obedience. And behind that, we need a good dose of Pentecost fire, without the which we will do nothing for the kingdom of God. The love that brought Jesus and put him on the cross, and the love that we need to show to those around us. And then tying that in with teaching them to observe all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded us and the apostles have taught us. And then Pentecost fire to liven it up. Oh, how badly we need that. Jesus' version in the Gospel of Mark of this Great Commission, it says that he that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Can you imagine what that really means? Condemned under the damnation of God. And I've already indicated that many people in our world are hellbound. Is there anything we can do about it? Jesus says, other sheep have I that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, he says, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Have we done anything to bring those lost ones in? Are we planning to do anything about it in the coming weeks and days as these young people go out? And as you as parents and loved ones that are gathered in this building, are we planning to do anything to reach out to those who do not know the Lord? That is my passion tonight. That's what we want to talk about. Someone has said, wherever there is a soul who does not know Jesus as his personal Savior, there is a mission field. It might be 2,000 or 6,000 miles from here, but wherever there's a soul that doesn't know Jesus as his personal Savior, right there is a mission field. Never forget that. And another thing is, if you cannot go to the mission field on your feet, you can go on your knees and you can pray for those who are going. And Jesus still says, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest is much and the laborers are few. And just been amazed again recently at some white fields of harvest that are opening up in some parts of our world. And even within the United States, we were seeing some of that, hearing about some of that. I was just talking to a brother the other night. He said, Virgil, what can we do to get people to go to these places? What can we do? I'd like to invite us tonight, although we've already talked about some scriptures, to Romans chapter 10. We're just going to have some thoughts from Romans chapter 10 tonight. I would just like to ask us a question. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. I would like to ask us the question tonight, when does that start? When do we become fishers of men? Do we become fishers of men when we're converted a year or two? When we're converted a decade or two? When do we become fishers of men? If we're not planning to follow Jesus in that regard, when are we planning to start as God's people tonight? Let's just think about it for a moment. When are we planning to begin that call that goes out to his disciples? You can say that it had to do with the 12 back there. I would agree, but nevertheless, Jesus left the Great Commission with them, but he also left it with us because the same scriptures still stand. With that as a background, let's read Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth righteousness, which is of the law, that the man which doeth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thy heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him on whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have not they heard? Yes, verily their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. There's a lot in this passage, and we could talk about it for a long time. But I want to pull the text for this evening, and I know some of these verses are very common to some of you at least. The whole thing of the word of faith that needs to get out to people, and that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. That is very common language. Even in the evangelical world, it is. The Protestant world would go that far. But it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Not only just a lip profession, not just an initial experience in the Christian life, but believeth unto righteousness. A person puts trust in, which is another synonym for believing, puts trust in, puts faith into, and believes unto righteousness, right living, carrying out God's commandments, Jesus' commandments to us, and with the mouth confession is made. And we need to do that on a very, very personal level, one-to-one. And we need to be willing to testify wherever God gives us that opportunity. Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Whoever puts their trust and faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ shall never be ashamed. And that includes you and I tonight. But let's see what we can do to spread that good news. But I want to start, and it might seem backwards to you, but I want to look at this whole concept in verses 13 through 15. And we're going to just look at this. And I want to call it to our attention that it says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And I just want us to know, first of all, that somebody needs to be sent. Somebody needs to be sent. And Jesus has sent any one of us into ministry. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Somebody needs to be sent. I tell you, my dear friends, somebody needs to go to the next door neighbor. And then the house is up from that neighbor. You need to go up and down the road right where you live. Do they know that you believe in Jesus? Do they know that what you stand for? Do they have any idea why you believe the way you do or practice the way you do? Somebody needs to be sent. Somebody needs to be sent to the Walmart store. Somebody needs to be sent to the prisons. Somebody needs to go to the retirement home. Somebody needs to be sent there. Somebody needs to go to the foreign fields. Somebody needs to go to Honduras and Paraguay and Bolivia and Colombia and into the north, places that I've never even heard of probably, but somebody's got to go there. They need to be sent. And why are they sent? They're sent there to preach. Someone needs to go to preach. The people will never hear unless somebody opens their mouth and tells them about Christ. They need to preach it. Somebody needs to preach it, needs to explain it, put it in simple terms. The gospel is not complicated. It is simple for whoever will. Put it in simple terms that your neighbor man can understand it, even if he's 80 years old. Even if he never darkened the door of a church. Even though he might play cards all day long. I just was touched with that with talking to a neighbor not so long ago. He said, I'm a little rough character. He said, I know I am. But he said, the other day I just felt a little bit of something inside here. He said, I don't know quite how to explain it. And he said, before I started my machine in the machine shop, he said, I took my cap off for a while. He said, and my coworker said, what are you doing over there? You praying? What a dumb thing. Well, he said, it just helps me control my tongue a little bit if I do. Whenever I hear that, I know that God can do something in the life of the hardest sinner out there. Somebody needs to be sent to preach. Somebody's got to tell it. Somebody's got to say it. Somebody's got to tell what Jesus has done for you. Jesus told them people, he said, like the man there that was redeemed from the Gadarene demoniac, he said, go and tell what great things the Lord hath done for thee and how he hath had compassion on thee. And that starts right here. You can give them your testimony. I once was lost and now I'm found. Praise God. You can tell them in simple terms. Somebody needs to be sent to preach. Why? So that people can hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing. They need to hear it. They need to hear the gospel message. They need to be brought to a point of decision. They will need to say yes or no. Hear it so they can believe. And sometimes it takes a lot of patience and a lot of prayer and a lot of investment. And you sometimes wonder, and sometimes things get totally worse in a person's life before it gets better. Why? Because the devil works against it. The devil does anything to keep you from speaking out. The devil keeps anyone from being sent. He doesn't want it to happen. He doesn't want it to be at all. He doesn't want people to hear. Whenever people hear God's word, the battle begins between the forces of evil and the forces of the kingdom of God. Just like it was, as we talked about earlier this week, between the devil and his angels and Michael and his angels. There's conflict going on over the souls of men. And whenever you get out, you're sent to preach in the most simple way. The old lady that sits in the retirement home, just stop by her wheelchair and talk to her about Jesus. Oh, my dear friends, whenever they get to hear, then things can happen in their hearts. Because God has a way of dealing with them. God has a way of driving his word into their heart and helping them to understand. Just like a seed, a tiny seed that's dropped there and begins to grow. If you don't believe it, read Ecclesiastes chapter 11. They need to hear. Why? They need to hear so that they can believe. You see, I'm going through this kind of in backwards order here. They need to hear so that they can believe. So that they can invest faith in Jesus Christ. So that they can take that tiny faith and invest it in a great big God, just like you and I have to do every day that we live. I was talking to a brother just today. He's facing some challenges in his life. And I just said, brother, I said, I'd just like you to know that God can supply all your needs. I said, take that tiny faith, that very little phrase out of Philippians 4:19. Take that tiny bit of faith that God will supply for the needs and believe it. Believe that God will take care of you and the needs that you have. Believe. They need to hear so they can believe. How can they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Oh, my dear friends, why should they believe? So that they can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Once there was a man, and maybe if I'd said his name, you might know who it was, but it doesn't matter. He wouldn't probably want to be publicized for having done this, but he went to a retirement home. And I sometimes think we jump over this opportunity. But he saw a man there that was a stroke victim. He saw him there, he saw his need. The man was a stroke victim. He couldn't talk well. He was physically impaired. And he went to him because he had a concern for his soul. And he prayed for the man. And he pled with the man. And he witnessed to him. And that man one day called upon the name of the Lord. And one day he joined the congregation and became part of the church. And I attended that man's funeral. It was quite a blessing to be there. A man that otherwise would have died and gone to hell forever, but he was saved because somebody just took a little time. Somebody took a little time to kneel down by that wheelchair and just talk to him so he could hear, so he could call upon the name of the Lord. Is that somebody you? Are you willing to do that tonight? The evangelism mandate didn't stop whenever the 12 disciples went off the map. It's still in place tonight, my dear friends. And then what? So that they could call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. That their home could be saved. That their life could be saved. That they wouldn't serve the devil anymore. Saved. And God is able to do that. Conversion is something that sometimes we underestimate. God's power to turn a hell-bound sinner into a heaven-bound saint. How can that happen? It happens by the gift of salvation and God's will and God's purpose being wrought in people's lives. That's what salvation is. If he did it for you, he can do it for the worst sinner out there, right? Let's never forget it, folks. The power of God's salvation, the power of the blood of Christ, the power that liberates a person from sin. But my dear friends, if we decide that we're going to be sent, whether that's in a very local level or whether that's in a faraway place, there will always be a cost. There's always a cost behind being sent. There's always a cost behind preaching the word. It's not easy all the time. It's hard sometimes, and the devil does anything he can to push it down and stop it. He tries to bombard you with temptations. But you know, the more you testify, the stronger you get. And the more God opens opportunities for you. The devil doesn't want people to hear. He wants them to watch that stupid television screen in the retirement home or wherever else, or be glued to that entertainment. He wants them to be there. He doesn't want them to hear. He does anything to stop them from hearing. There's always a cost in mission work. My dear friends, tonight, will you and I heed the evangelism mandate of our dear Lord Jesus, and what will we do about it as we go forth from this place? May God help us to do what we can while we can. The night soon comes when no man can work. God bless you all.